Let's then move on to the next topic, which will be a paper on the initial application of IFRS 17. Laura, are you going to take the honors?
Yes, I will take the honors. Thanks, Hans. Okay, so IFRS 17. So last month we brought to you a paper, and that was about the comparative information that insurers will present when they first apply IFRS 17 and IFRS 9. And in particular, in that paper, we discussed the significance of some classification differences that might arise when because of the different transition requirements in the two standards. We also set out in that paper our initial thoughts on a possible amendment to address this very specific issue, which we refer to as a classification overlay. In the paper for today's meeting, we've set out in further detail what that classification overlay would look like, how we expect it would be applied in practice, and we are recommending that the board make a narrow scope amendment to IFRS 17 to introduce that classification overlay. And that is question one on page 9 of the paper. Then, if the board agrees with that recommendation, we also have questions 2 to 4. Question 2 asks for permission to begin the balloting process for the exposure draft. And question 3 asks the board to set a comment period for the exposure draft. The staff are recommending a 60-day comment period. And last week, the due process oversight committee approved a shortened comment period for this document. And then finally, we have question 4, which asks whether at this stage any board member would intend to dissent from the exposure draft. If the board does decide today to propose a narrow scope amendment, we expect that this would be published. The exposure draft would be around the end of July, and we would be aiming to finalise the amendment by the end of this year. So with that, I will hand over to the board to discuss question 1.
Does this mean complete disagreement or complete agreement? This silence. Ah, Martin. Now everybody's coming. Martin, please.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. I support the staff recommendation, as I mentioned already last month, because I think it is really limited to period and will improve the comparability. And I think it's especially important when you move to a different new accounting standard that you really can compare also what is economic effects from year to year and what is accounting effect. And this should not be, I think, disturbed by accounting mismatches. And this amendment, I think, will avoid this accounting mismatch and provide better information to users. Regarding the comment period, man, I would also think maybe we can limit it to 30 days, because man, I think as soon as we can do that, better it is for preparers. I think it is limited to a small number of entities, as insurance entities, and I think there is not a big deal to comment on that, and therefore I would think 30 days would also be sufficient. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Rika.
Thank you, Hans. And I agree with what Martin already mentioned. And because of the time was limited, I only reached out a limited number of stakeholders, but I received the overall positive feedback. So I support what staff recommended on the paper. And but I just have two clarification questions about transition treatment at the date of the initial application of IFRS 19. And one is about, I think paragraph 26 is clearly mentioned that pre-analysis during the comparative period need to be updated and reanalyzed based on the fact and the circumstance at the date of the initial application. But paragraph 3, staff recommendation is not very clear about that point. So if my understanding is correct, I would like to see a little more clarification in the drafting of the exposure draft. And another thing is about, so it's also about transition treatment at the date of the initial application of full application of IFRS 9. I think there should be a kind of the adjustment in retained earning at that date, but that requirement is not very clear, even though I understand the entity will have to apply IFRS 9 transition treatment on that day, but it might be helpful if that point is a little more clear in the drafting of the exposure draft.
Thank you, Rika. We'll take that for the drafting.
Thank you, Lola.
Thank you, Rika. Jen Chao.
Thank you, Hans. I also support the staff's proposal. I think introduce the classification of the approach to address those accounting mismatch during the comparative period would ease those companies to apply IFRS 17 and 9, and also would faithfully represent the real economic, reality of those companies' business, and also will provide more useful information to the users. So I agree with staff's proposal, but I do have several observations. First is about the meaning of related to the insurance, contract liabilities, because this is the key to identify the scope of those financial assets would be eligible to apply the classification of the approach. I do appreciate the staff make reference to paragraph C, 29A of IFRS 17. I think that paragraph is really helpful. So I hope that maybe in the basic conclusion, we can include that reference or include some additional classification to make sure that what kind of financial assets will be eligible for classification of the approach. Second observation is about the treatment of the differences between the carrying amount of those related financial assets applying the classification overlay and the previous carrying amount of at the transition date to IFRS 17. According to the paragraph 18, currently those differences will go to the opening retaining earnings, I think at the transition date as well. But I think in my understanding, in some scenarios, maybe those differences may need to go to opening OCI rather than opening retaining earnings. For example, some changes arising from insurance contract liabilities, they would need to go to OCI, and the related financial assets, they are accounted for fair value through OCI. So in order to achieve, to reduce accounting mismatch, applying overlay approach. So I think those changes actually need to go to the OCI. So this is, I think, maybe further clarification when we draft the narrow amendment to the IFRS 17 may be needed. The third thing is about the level of the financial assets classification in order to apply overlay approach. Currently, we propose the instrument by instrument basis. I think, okay, I agree with this approach. I think it would be helpful for company to apply overlay approach. But as the analysis included in paragraph 20 said that maybe, there's some risk of cherry picking. So I think I appreciate that maybe in the basic conclusion or somewhere else, we can mention that in order to avoid the risk of the cherry picking, I think those you know, instrument by instrument basis. When the company apply this basis, I think they need to be aware that the purpose of that, you know, choice should be try to achieve the consistency with the classification outcome. You know, I think that objective is very important to guide what kind of basis the company needed to apply in terms of instrument by instrument basis. So thank you. Generally, I agree with staff's proposal. In terms of the comment period, I'm happy with 60 days, and I think it's a reasonable comment period. But as Martin said, maybe less than 60. I'm happy with both. I think it's a very small, narrow scope amendment to the IFRS 17. Thank you.
Laura, I think you want to respond, yeah?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Jingqiao, just to respond to a couple of your comments, hopefully it'll be helpful. On the first one, I thought you mentioned that we've said related to insurance contract liabilities in the paper. And you're right, I think we used related there as a bit of a shorthand, but actually I think if we got to the drafting, we would use that very more specific language that we mentioned in paragraph 14 of the paper, which is consistent with another area of IFRS 17. So we would avoid that word related, and we would use the connected to insurance activities. Your second point was about the drafting there, where we said a difference would go in opening retained earnings. And I think similarly, you're right. We've used that there, but consistent with somewhere in IFRS 9, it would be opening retained earnings or other component of equity, if that's appropriate. And again, that's existing drafting that's there. So we'd just make sure we'd tighten that drafting up if we got through to the exposure draft. Thanks.
Sue?
Thanks, Hans. So I agree with the proposed approach. I just had a couple of suggestions. Well, one suggestion for the drafting and one question or suggestion for the criteria. So on the suggestion for the drafting, I think it would be helpful for people if we're very clear that I'm not sure that for people outside the organisation, and even for me, to be honest, that this idea that classification means something very different from measurement is such a clear-cut distinction. And so, for example, if I'm telling somebody to measure to classify using amortised cost or fair value through other comprehensive income for debt instruments, my automatic reaction would be to move to the, you know, how do I do that under IFRS 9 and to go straight into ECL, and that's not the intent. So I think I'm sure you're planning to, but just to emphasise, it will be important to be clear that it doesn't mean that you have to use the measurement that goes with that in total. In particular, you're not required to apply the expected credit loss model. So I think we'll just need to say more rather than less to make that clear in the document. Then my other comment and sort of suggestion is I agree with this idea that we propose that the classification outcomes be aligned with how the entity expects the financial assets to be classified. And I agree with that largely because I think that's sort of what people are doing on transition anyway. They're sort of estimating what they think the outcome's going to be and truing up on the date of initial application under IFRS 9. So I think it will flow naturally from what I understand their processes already are. But I think people might ask, you know, what's the basis of your expectation? So, you know, can I just sort of say that's what I'm hoping for, or how much analysis do I have to have done? And it might not be unreasonable for an auditor to look at those words and say, well, you need to show me that there's a reasonable basis for your expectation by showing me your, you know, your full SPPI assessment, your full business model assessment, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not sure that we necessarily intend something so fulsome, but we do want some level of work. So just a thought, whether we should say something about that an entity expects on a reasonable basis. Do we need to put something in there that's a sort of a flag of what sort of what's a basis for the expectation? For me, something like a reasonable basis is signaling you have to do some work, but not everything. But you can't just sort of say, seems like a reasonable outcome with having done no analysis. And I just wonder, to preempt comments we might get otherwise about how do I determine this, whether a word like that might just give a signal of what our expectations are. And I'm also happy with 60 days.
Okay, Mary.
Thanks, Hans. Overall, last month, you convinced me, Laura, that there's an accounting mismatch and it's big enough that we should try and address it in order to reduce, let me say what's going to be a noisy transition to the combination of IFRS 9 and IFRS 17, that it has the potential to be big enough and matter enough that it's worth some effort to take at least that source of noise out of the transition. So, against that background, I think that what you've proposed in this paper is an appropriate way. So overall, I'm supportive of the approach. I think we have to remember to keep it simple. So you've had several suggestions for things to clarify, and I think having clarity is really good and important, and it's worth kind of the extra time to think about it going into the ED so that everybody can comment on knowing what we expect and the degree of effort, and frankly thinking, kind of jumping ahead to the comment period question, I think I'd make sure that we take all the time to get things fleshed out into the ED, even if it means cutting a few days off of the proposed, what you've proposed is 60 days in the comment period, because I think having clarity around the comments will be really helpful. The one thing I wanted to raise with you comes back to paragraph 16 in the paper. When you say applying the classification overlay would not require an entity to apply the assessments required by IFRS 9. And there's a pretty extensive discussion of why the business model, why you aren't saying applying the business model. And I guess, and maybe this goes to Sue's question about what's the reasonable basis for expectation. I don't see how if we're trying to signal waive the solely payments of principal and interest characteristic of the instrument for that expectation of classification, it's not clear to me what you think the expectation is. So if you could think about that and how we express it, I think that would be helpful, because again, in order for this to be worth the effort, I think it has to be very clear what our expectations are. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Bruce.
Hansa Siriana wants to respond to Mary. I don't know if you want to do that first.
Yes. Please.
Thank you, Bruce. Just quickly to Mary's point, and I think it links to what Sue also said, is the way the transition in IFRS 9 works is that you do all your assessments on the date of initial application. And some of those assessments are based on the facts and circumstances that exist at that date. So for the business model and designation on the fair value option, and your SPPI assessment is also based on that date. It's done on that date, but it's based on the facts and circumstances that exist at the initial recognition of the financial asset. Now, for any entity that prepares, that plans to restate their comparative information, to do that, they need to have an expectation of how they think those assets are going to be measured or classified under IFRS 9. But that doesn't mean they perform those assessments on the transition date. They still perform those assessments on the date of initial application. And I think that's all we meant in this regard. We're not saying you can classify things under amortized cost if it doesn't meet the SPPI requirements, but we're not requiring you to do an assessment of SPPI in order to apply the classification overlay. So it needs to be consistent with what you think it's going to be on the basis that you prepare the rest of your comparative information. It's just that we're not changing the date on which you have to do that formal assessment as required by IFRS 9.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Anna, thank you for that clarification. Bruce?
Thanks very much, Hans. And thanks to the staff for the paper, and not just the paper, but their patience in taking me through all the technical aspects. I guess to start off with, I would normally never be a kind of pro or in support of changing a standard this close to the implementation date. I mean, I think it does create challenges. But I think this is one of those very unique situations where I think we are faced with a mismatch. And based on what's been put in the paper, I think we need to put something out there to help preparers get the right answer. I mean, the only comment I would just make is I do think there's a lot of technicality in what we're proposing. And I think some of the questions that have come out of the previous board members' discussions, we can see that. So I think that as much as I'm supportive of what the staff have proposed, I think we do need to obviously see the final wording in terms of what it comes out of. The one area I had raised a bit of interest in just to see how we get it is, I'm just a little bit worried about that instrument by instrument versus the portfolio level. In other words, are people going to be cherry picking? Are they going to try and get cherry picked to get an answer that they want? I appreciate that. I don't think they would, because I think they are trying to kind of get rid of a mismatch, but I think maybe it's just to understand and kind of look at the final wording around that. Given I think this is going to be a little bit technical, but I think to those people who are applying, it's going to be a lot more kind of... I don't think there'll be as much time to comment. I really don't mind the comment period. I mean, I think we can go with 60 days, but I appreciate the earlier comment that if we find we need more time to get the wording right, we can reduce that to 30 days. I do think we've got to get it out by the end of the year, I think, to make sure it's useful. So I think I would aim for 60 days, but if we need more time, we can reduce that to 30 days just to make sure we get that wording right. I wouldn't anticipate that we get huge amounts of comments, because I think the people who are impacted by this are most likely following this discussion and very much aware of what we're doing. Thanks.
Françoise.
Thank you. And thank you for the paper, and thank you for bringing this paper the answers to comments I made last month. I'm supportive of what you propose. I listening to the discussion around what are our expectations. I think our expectation should be that this overlay approach is being used to eliminate mismatches and foster comparability. I'm hesitant with this idea that you're expected to have an outcome of something you're not expected to do. That doesn't sound like a clear requirement to me. So I think we have to choose our methods, either have this classification overlay as described with those objectives that have to be met, or we ask retrospective with the possibility of recognizing what has been derecognized. Because otherwise, I think it's going to be eventually the worst situation. Thank you.
Okay. Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans. Thank the staff for preparing the paper and dealing with this issue and coming with a solution quickly. I just want to reinforce the point raised by Jin Chao in relation to the scope of the classification overlay, especially the definition of financial assets that are related to insurance contract liability, but I'm happy with Laura's response. In relation to the 60-day comment period, I agree with that. I think this is already a very short period, but it might be enough to get quality responses. It's a very narrow scope. But I would not go for a shorter period, especially because the time the paper might be out for comment, and also 60 days sounds the right time and does not seem to put in risk the year-end target. Thank you.
Rika, you wanted to come back here?
Yes, I'm sorry. I said I agreed with what all Martin mentioned, but I'm not agree with one point about comment period. I think when I reach out to some stakeholder mentioned that they still need time to spend, make sure they're understanding how to apply, especially they want to looking at the exact word of the exposure draft and consider again. So I think 60 days is not I mean, a long period of time, but still, this is a narrow scope amendment, so 60 days will be more reasonable than a shorter period of time. Thank you.
Okay. All right, then I think we are ready to answer the questions. First of all, has due process been followed, and can we give the staff permission to ballot? Okay. Then secondly, do we agree with a 60-day comment period? And finally, does anybody expect to dissent? There is nobody. All right. Thank you very much, Laura.
Hunt?
Yes?
Question one.
Oh. Main question. Well, that's implicit in the answer, in our answering the other questions. Okay. All right. We can move on to the next topic. Equity method. Is Filippo going to present? Is he there?
Yes, Filippo is here. Filippo, are you able to come on? Yep. Okay.
Yep, I'm here. Good morning. Thank you, Angs. Good morning, everybody.
Are you in the office, Filippo?
I'm in the office, yes. I've been experiencing a number of strange problems with my internet connection at home.
Ah, okay. Good. All right. Well, glad to see somebody in the office. It's a good sign.